The Declaration of Independence says that our rights come from the Creator, while evolution says there is no Creator, or if there is one, he's basically just superfluous. Many assume that evolution has somehow been proven as fact, but noted biologist Dr. Jonathan Wells says that a lot of the major arguments for evolution have actually been disproved, and yet, like zombies, they keep coming back, these arguments do. In fact, Dr. Jonathan Wells has written a book called Zombie Science. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Jonathan Wells, author of Zombie Science, and before that, Icons of Evolution, joins us on the program. Dr. Wells, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, for those not familiar with the book, Icons of Evolution, The Icons of Evolution, basically you take about 10 or so key arguments for evolution and show that some of these things are not only not true, in some cases they're even staged. And then you wrote the follow-up book on zombie science. But first go ahead and explain about the Icons of Evolution and give us an example or two.
Well, in 2000, I published Icons of Evolution, and the word icon refers to an image that's presented in a textbook as though it were evidence for Darwinian evolution. And I showed in that book that 10 prominent icons in textbooks actually misrepresent the evidence, or in some cases actually are made up. They're faked. One prominent example, the first one I noticed actually, is pictures purporting to show that early embryos of vertebrates, reptiles, mammals, fish, and so on, the early embryos look very similar, and this is an argument for their common ancestry. But as an embryologist myself, I knew that those images were false. In fact, they were pointed out to be false in the year that they were first printed.
Wow.
And yet they still appear in textbooks even to this day.
When you say the year, that would be around 1900 or something like that? We're talking about the drawings of Ernst Haeckel of Germany.
Yes, 1820, around 1860.
Oh, wow, even that early. Oh,
yeah.
Man. And so, and yet these Haeckel's embryos, as they're called, are often found even in textbooks today, and yet they are inaccurate. They're not correct. And what they purport to show is not what actually exists in biology.
Right. And biologists who have studied them have known this for over a century.
Man, so what you mean by zombie science? They're just kind of repeating this thing. These arguments just keep coming back like zombies. You just can't kill them. They live for another day, sort of.
Exactly. So another one I discovered after noticing the embryo icon was the icon of the peppered moth. In around 1800. As the Industrial Revolution got underway in Britain, a population of moths that before that had been pretty much gray and speckled, hence the word peppered, the populations began turning dark. So the dark moths predominated over the gray moths. And this was attributed to pollution darkening tree trunks around industrial centers. So the dark moths, it was thought, could avoid birds being eaten by birds while the light moths were being picked off and eaten. So the population shifted. Well, there turned out to be several problems with that theory, but most tellingly, biologists discovered some years later that peppered moths do not normally rest on tree trunks. So there were pictures prominent in textbooks showing them on tree trunks, light and dark moths on light and dark trunks. It turns out that those figures were staged.
The photographs.
Those pictures were staged.
Yeah. Huh.
Either by pinning gluing dead moths to the trunks, or by putting live moths in place and photographing them before they flew away.
Well, that's fraudulent.
It is fraudulent, yes. And as soon as it became recognized that these photos were inaccurate, they should have been removed. Well, many of them now have been removed, but we still see them from time to time. So this is still a zombie icon.
Okay, ape to man, the ape to man sequence. That's something we see quite often, you know, all over the place. And it's as if this is somehow proven, you know, in the fossil record or something. What do you say about this in Icons of Evolution and in zombie science, ape to man sequence?
Well, it's basically a statement of Darwin's theory rather than a conclusion from the evidence. The fossil evidence for ape-like creatures is relatively sparse, and there are no direct ancestral relationships demonstrated by the fossil record.
The missing links are still missing, in other words, essentially.
Missing, imaginary, whatever. The sequence itself is, as I said, a statement of theory, not something based on evidence.
So, for example,
it's still very prominent.
Yeah, it is. So, for example, let's say we take the very first one, which is a chimpanzee in the sequence, and then you look at the very last one, which is a modern man walking upright. Okay, so the first one, we know that there are such creatures. You can see them in the zoo. The last one, you are one. I am one. You know, okay? And then in between, though, there are these in-between creatures that are kind of evolving from ape to man. Those are the ones. Where are they? We don't find them in the fossil record. We don't find this kind of definitive thing. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there are certainly, there are certainly fossils of ape-like creatures in the fossil record. They're usually very fragmentary, like they might be known from a tooth or a few bones, but the idea that there's a well-established fossil record of these creatures evolving into humans is simply false.
Okay, junk DNA. What is that, and how is that significant to evolution?
Well, when DNA has been around, been known for a long time, but in 1953, Francis Crick and James Watson discovered the structure of DNA, which supported the idea that DNA codes for proteins and also is the vehicle of heredity, at least at that level. But around the same time, it became known that most DNA in our bodies does not code for protein. And so a lot of scientists at the time labeled it junk and said it was just a leftover from evolution. So for a long time, we were taught that 98% of our DNA is junk.
That's a big percentage.
It's a huge percentage. And it's not true. Beginning after 2000, scientists discovered that much, if not all, well, let's just say most at this point, most of that so-called junk DNA actually functions in the human body, in many cases by regulating the protein production from the 2% of the DNA. But it's not junk. And so that's why I wrote a book in 2011, I think it was, called The Myth of Junk DNA. Hmm. But it's still presented in textbooks as well. So in a sense, it's another icon of evolution.
Darwin's Tree of Life, what is that and how is that an icon of evolution? And how do the zombie scientists, in effect, keep repeating that which is shown to be untrue?
Well, the only figure in Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, was a branching tree figure purportedly showing that life began as one or a few primitive forms and then branched out into the many species we see today. And that image continues to be presented in one form or another in modern biology textbooks. The problem is that whatever source of evidence you use to document the tree turns out to be very inconsistent with itself, whether you use anatomy or molecules. The more we learn about living things, the more inconsistent that tree becomes. Well, if it's true, if the tree were true, there would only be one true tree of life. But as it turns out, there's dozens at this point. So to present it as a true picture of the history of life is simply wrong.
Darwin's finches.
Well, interestingly enough, Darwin himself had no evidence for natural selection. He said so. But in the 1970s, a group of hardy biologists camped out on one of the islands in the Galapagos off the coast of Ecuador. And the Galapagos Islands at that time had what were called about a dozen species of finch, differing in their size and mostly the size and shapes of their beaks. So the biologists who camped out on the one island studied one species in great detail. And in one year in the 1970s, there was a severe drought, which killed most of the food eaten by the birds. So 80% of the species died. And the ones that died were the ones with the smaller beaks. So the ones that survived had larger beaks. Now, no beaks changed. It just meant that if you had a large beak, you survived, and if you didn't, you died. But the biologists speculated that if there were a drought every 20 years or so, this population could become a new species of finch in just a couple of hundred years. Well, the problem with the speculation is that the following year, the rains returned, so did the food, and the average beak size of the population returned to what it was before. So there was no net evolution. There was natural selection, but there was no net evolution. And yet this is still presented in textbooks as evidence for the origin of new species.
Can you explain the difference between micro versus macro evolution? And by the way, we have about a minute and 15 seconds left. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, the distinction was made by biologists, evolutionary biologists, in fact. Microevolution refers to the minor changes in existing species that we see all around us. We see it even in our own families. Macroevolution refers to the origin of new species, organs, and body plans, which we do not observe. And the biologist principally responsible for promoting this idea pointed out that the first, microevolution, we can observe in our own lifetimes, but the second, macroevolution, takes so long we cannot observe it. So all we can do is try to infer from microevolution how macroevolution happens, but it's never been observed.
But there's a lot of assumptions involved in that. How about a 10-second closing thought on this, discovery.org, or if there's a website you want to give for the books or your books, including Zombie Science?
Yes, I would recommend discovery.org,
okay,
which includes my books and many other books by other authors, mm-hmm, showing that Darwinian evolution is false in one way or another.
All right.
So that's discovery.org.
Dr. Jonathan Wells, again, author of Icons of Evolution and Zombie Science. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Delighted to do it.